Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
So as Jacob's Well, we've been talking a lot about gratitude lately.
And when I think of gratitude, there's one phrase that I keep hearing over and over again, and it goes like this. It's not happy people who are grateful, but grateful people who are happy. And while I think that's a really lovely orientation, I kind of bristle at it because I don't know that happiness is the goal of my life. When I am just trying to get to a consistently positive emotional state, that feels really frustrating and hard. And I think the goal of our lives is something much more than just happiness, because sadness or melancholy can be really real and really important. And I think gratitude is a part of that also. And so I would like us to think about the goal of our life being something different than just happiness. But what if the goal were to be awake, really present to what's going on in your life, aware, noticing the emotional state that you're in, not regarding sadness or melancholy or grief as a punishment or evidence of something going wrong in your life, but part of what can help you be transformed and seeking to be transformed by the events of our life, whether it's happiness or sadness or whatever full range of emotions we're experiencing. And what if we wanted to be connected, to use whatever experiences our lives are bringing us to be in relationship with other people? When our goal is to be awake, aware, transformed, and connected, there's room for gratitude. And gratitude brings us to that place. But it also lets us have a full range of life experiences and to see them as really meaningful. And when we're awake and aware, we can be transformed and connected. And that's a much richer way to be grateful for life instead of just seeking to be happy all the time. There's a great story from the Bible, the Gospel of Luke, that helps us understand gratitude in a really new and refreshing way. But first, I want to talk about how we read the Bible, because I think it's really important to be critical about how we read these stories and just understand our way of interpreting the Bible. And my favorite phrase of how we interpret the Bible comes from a book by Marcus Borg called Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time. And he tells a story of a man who is a storyteller, a Native American storyteller, and it's his job on behalf of the tribe to tell the tribe's stories of creation or whatever it may be. And this man, whenever he sits down the community and is about to tell one of the tribe's stories, always prefaces it by saying, "I don't know if this story happened this way or not, but I know this story is true. I don't know if this story happened this way or not, but I know this story is true." And to me, that's such a helpful way of thinking about the Bible. Rather than arguing about historical details or trying to find proof for this little thing or that little thing, maybe there weren't even these lepers that we're going to talk about. I don't know. But what I do know is that this story tells me something true about my life and the world that I live in right now. And that's the gem that I'm going after. And so when we read the Bible, look for that truth. I don't know if this story happened this way or not, but I know that this story is true. So the story that we're going to find some truth in is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, if you want to go look it up. And so what happens is there's this big leper colony, these people isolated from their community. They see Jesus walking down the road and they cry out, like, "Jesus, can you come and heal us?" And so Jesus calls out to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And on their way to showing themselves to the priest, these 10 lepers that called out were all healed of their leprosy. And so following Jesus' instructions, they go on their way to show themselves to the priests and be restored to their community. But there's this one man, and the story says that this one man turned back. And you can tell there's more of the story coming, but I want us to linger in this moment because to me, this is so revolutionary. this man, when everything is going well, everything that he's dreamed about for so long has happened, he gets to go do exactly what Jesus said, show yourselves to the priests and be welcomed back to community, see his family, see his friends. Everything is going well, and he turns around. And to me, this is honestly the miracle of this story. Jesus healed bodies all the time, which is wonderful, but that this man had the presence of mind to stop and reflect and pause and turn around when the whole crowd was moving forward without him. I think there's so much for us to learn in that moment. When things are going well, when we get that happiness that we wanted, do we have the ability to turn around? And even though they had cried out, Jesus, save us, I think that that was a really raw moment for him. He didn't know what was on the other side of that turning back. He didn't think, oh, I better send a thank you note for that gift that I just got. This wasn't good manners. This wasn't full of any kind of expectations on his part of, oh, if I do this, this will happen, or I should do this. It was just, wow, this is big. And I want to take a moment to just look at where this came from and really appreciate this in my life. And there was something already at work in him that made him peel off from the group. Something about his commitment to his life was different. He was more interested in being transformed by his life and connected in his life rather than being committed to happiness. So there was already a seed that had been planted in him, but he took the time to turn around and marvel and explore and really look at this that I think is inspiring and so important in this story. And to me, that's the invitation for us too. When things are going well, no matter what happens, do you have the ability to just pause for a moment and look back? So in Luke chapter 17, there are 10 lepers. Jesus is walking down the road and he hears these 10 lepers cry out, Jesus, heal us. And so he says, go show yourselves to the priests. And on their way, they're healed. But one man out of the 10 turns back, comes to Jesus, falls at his feet, and Jesus says to him, where are the other 9? Weren't there 10 of you? Now, I think sometimes we hear this, it can be heard in a lot of different ways. Let me say that. All we have is the words, and any actor will tell you there are a million ways to interpret something off the page into real life. So there are a lot of ways we could hear this question from Jesus. Do you think he's angry? Where are the other 9? Weren't there 10 of you? Was this a test? Was he a little snarky? Where are the other 9? I thought I healed 10 of you. I want full credit here. Was Jesus' ego needing this appreciation? Was he mad at their bad manners? Was he frustrated that only one man out of the 10 came back to him? I don't think so. I don't think Jesus was walking along and said, oh, this is a really great teachable moment where future people will learn to be shamed for not being grateful enough. I can't imagine a Jesus like that. But what if Jesus is stopped in his tracks and just says, where are the other 9? Weren't there 10 of you? Why are you here? Like, what made you turn back? Jesus was on his way, had his whole momentum going, and it was interrupted by this man coming back to him. And I like to think that Jesus was totally surprised. This was totally unexpected. And the next thing that Jesus says to this man is, your faith has healed you, is what we read in the Bible. And the other 9 were also healed of their leprosy. Like, they must have had enough faith to be healed. But what was it about this man? And what if we translate that sentence as saying, your life is richer because you took this moment to notice? Or if we think about faith as what you put your trust in, what you put your trust in, man that has come to me, what you are trusting has made a difference in your life, has somehow made you more whole, more connected, more transformed. Your turning around is huge and matters and makes a difference not only in your life, but in mine. Because then Jesus says to him, go on your way. He doesn't say, good job, you found the hidden prize, now get behind me and follow me forever. He says, we need more people doing this in the world. Go be this person that spreads these moments of awe and gratitude. When we stop and turn back, it changes not only our lives. This man was not only changed, but I think he made a difference in Jesus' life, interrupted the path that he was on, had a transformative moment for Jesus, and then set that off in the world. So what does this mean for us? How do we be these people in the world? And even though it's a little bit of a chicken and an egg thing with our gratitude and commitments, they both shape each other. I think the more that we can look at our habitual commitments versus our soul commitments, we will be these transformed and transformational people. And when I say habitual commitments, I think there are things that we give priority to that we sort of do automatically without thinking. And culturally, I think our commitments are to bigger and better and faster and flashier and having the newest technology and making sure everything looks good and being impressive, and whether that's being smart or being funny or being pretty. There are all kinds of things that the culture sets as our priorities. But deep down, soulfully, our commitments are to connection and transformation and kindness and gratitude. And there are lots of ways that shows up, and you can think of your own examples, but maybe it's something as simple as a shift in perspective that people are coming over for Thanksgiving soon. And if you just had the perfect table and the best recipes and Martha Stewarted everything about your table, then people would finally be grateful. But maybe your priority having those people over is about connection and how you're going to relate to your family and friends in a new way instead of making sure every corner of your house is spotless. What does that change for you? Can it be a shift that small? And I wish I could give you, like, here are the three easy steps to shifting your commitments and living a more grateful life. Or I don't think it's that easy. And I don't think people aren't grateful because they don't agree with it. Talking about gratitude is kind of silly because it's not something you need to be intellectually convinced of. Well, I was going to be more grateful, but I didn't want to. But then I heard this great message and I decided, oh, okay, you've convinced me I should try it. It's not that easy and it's not that hard. These moments are available all the time. And I can't promise you what's on the other side of it. For the man who had leprosy in today's story, he stopped, turned back, and encountered Jesus in a really new way. And who knows how that changed his path from there. For Jesus, this stopped in his tracks moment. He encountered a new member of his community. He was surprised and learned from this man he would have otherwise probably not had much of a connection with. So there are all kinds of things that can happen from this turning back moment. Maybe things feel like they're going backwards and you discover something new. Jesus kept going on his way but had this really transformational moment. So don't take our word for it, my word for it. Try it for yourself. See what's on the other side. Because what I do know is that these moments are transformational. The more that you do this, these moments set off connection and newness in the world, and this rhythm grows and grows. And not only do you continue to be transformed, but you transform the world, and the world transforms you, and you transform the world. So see if you can find a moment this week, today, no matter what your circumstances, whether things are going right or it feels like everything's going wrong, can you find a moment to stop, turn around, really take in what's going around you. Look at how your priorities are shaping your life. And then see what this moment, this pause moment, changes for you. How does it change your perspective, your commitments, your community, your family? As you share these moments with friends, what does that set off in them? The change is exponential. The opportunity is always there.